We're in this series still about hearing God, and we're talking about the seven love languages of God, and here they are: Scripture, desires, doors, dreams. The fifth one is people, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, how God speaks through His people to His people. And then next Sunday is going to be a special Christmas message called The Seven Words of Christmas. And then we're going to talk about promptings and pain. This is all coming from a book that I'm reading right now called Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God, and it's by Mark Batterson. This is a very good book. I encourage you to get it, and this is where a lot of my inspiration is coming from, and some of the analogies, you know, I'm going to actually be reading one of the stories today from the book that was really good about people. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 11 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Or if you got your phone, however you get there, just get there. We're going to go to Numbers chapter 11 first, and then we're going to end up in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're talking specifically how God speaks through His people to His people. And the word that we're going to be looking at and studying today is the word prophecy. Everybody say prophecy. Now, every time, I want to change your image of prophecy. Because if you were like me growing up in church, when I heard the word prophecy, I had images of doom and gloom, of the end of the world. And that's not what prophecy is. That's part of it, but that's not what prophecy is according to Scripture. And it's actually, prophecy is actually more forth-telling, F-O-R-T-H, than foretelling is what it is. And so we're gonna really dive into this today and see what prophecy really is according to Scripture. So we're going to start in the Old Testament. We're going to finish up in the New Testament. But in Numbers chapter 11, verses 24 through 29, I'm going to give you a little backdrop of this passage. This is Moses. He's pastoring a whole bunch of people. Some scholars say up to 1.5 million people. And so this is a prayer. Before he says this, this is a prayer of a burned out pastor. And he basically says, God, if you love me, kill me. Because he was getting tired of hearing all the people complaining and all the stuff that was going on. And so God, in His infinite wisdom, has a plan in a way to help, you know, share the burden for Moses. And it says in verse 24, it says, so Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together, and so Moses heard God. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him, and he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him, talking about Moses, and putting it on the 70 elders. And I just want to say something right here, because we adhere to this kind of church government. It is nice when you have elders that are in agreement and in unity, and everybody said, or your church leadership is in agreement and unity. Because a lot of churches, when they have the disunity in leadership that's going on, it is not a great place. The Spirit of God is not there when there's a lot of disunity. But where there's unity and love, the Spirit of God is there. And everybody said, amen. So we work hard around here to keep the spirit of unity. Is it easy? No, because the enemy is always trying to bring strife and division and confusion and every evil thing. And so that's who we're dealing with. It's not against flesh and blood. Everybody said, and I'm reminding myself of that, because there's been times where all you see is flesh and blood, but you're not dealing with that. You're dealing with the Spirit behind that. And so it says, when the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. Now, let's keep reading. Verse 26, it says, however, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad, and they also had a brother named Yodad. Thought y'all would get a kick. I got a kick out of that one when I heard that one time. It says, had remained in the camp. There's some funny names in Scripture. I'm glad they picked out Jarek instead of Eldad and Medad or Yodad. They were listed among the elders but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, which is the son of Nun, he had no mother. No, I'm just kidding. All right, enough of the jokes, right? Okay. Who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." He said, "Stop them. They're not supposed to be doing this, only you and the 70 elders." In verse 29, I love what Moses said. Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And everybody said, "Amen." Now, I'm going to show you something in Scripture. So I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Turn over to Acts chapter 2 and then 1 Corinthians 14. But in Acts chapter 2, we're going to see the fulfillment of Moses' answer to his prayer. Now, I want to stop and say this because I want us all to get on the same page this morning. You may not think of yourself as a prophet, and I understand there is a fivefold ministry office called a prophet. There's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Okay? But we're going to see this in Scripture. Everybody can prophesy. Everybody can be prophetic. And we're going to see that here in just a second. So I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, "I'm a prophet." Okay? And so now, whoever you turn to, I want you to say back to them, say, "I already knew that, because I'm a prophet too." All right. So, and here's something that I found in this book that I've been studying. Jewish philosophers did not believe that the prophetic gift was reserved for a few select individuals. Becoming prophetic was seen as the crowning point of mental and spiritual development. And the more people grow spiritually, the more prophetic they become. And everybody said, and as we go along here, you're going to understand what this means here in just a little bit. So I'm going to give you three things, and I've wrote them all down on the back of your bulletin there with the Scriptures. I think there's one Scripture that I accidentally left out, but we'll get there in just a second. But there's three things about prophecy that I want you to get, and this is number one. I want every one of you to get this. I don't care if you're young, old in here, whatever you feel like you are, all of us can prophesy. Everybody can prophesy. Tell yourself, "I can prophesy." You can. And this is in Numbers 11:29, what Moses said. "But Moses replied, 'Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that they would, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them.'" Now here's the answer to Moses' prayer. Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. It says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy." So you're either a son or a daughter. "Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." And everybody said, "Prophesy." All right, and I love this Scripture. I told you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 31. It says, "For you can all prophesy." I want you to get that. "You can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged." So here's the deal. If all can prophesy, then every one of us in here can hear the voice of God. Every one of us in here can hear the voice of God. Now, what we read in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 11, it says the Spirit of God descended and rested upon the elders, on Moses and the elders. And now I want to show you something in John chapter 1, verse 33, because you and I today, we live under a better covenant with better promises. Amen? The Holy Spirit was given to us. In John 1, verse 33, it says, "I did not know him," this is Jesus speaking, "but he who sent me to baptize," this is John speaking, "I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining,'" everybody say remaining, "on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." And that's John talking about Jesus. So now, the Holy Spirit doesn't just come and rest on people. He comes and remains on people. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you, within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Now, you know, sometimes, Jaden knows this well because Jaden and I live together. She's like, sometimes you're just so anointed in the pulpit and you act like the devil when you get home. And there's a reason for that. It's because, and we all do this, every one of us do this, because we're not always yielded to the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean he's not there. He's there. He's in me. It's just that sometimes I'm not yielded to him. I'm yielded to my flesh, who I am. And so it's about how you yield to him. And here's something else about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks. The Bible says he comes alongside of us and he walks with us. He's in you. He walks with you. He comforts you. He's with you at all times. But he's all the time speaking. He's not mute. He doesn't have his hand over his mouth. He's speaking to you. But we have to yield to it and listen to him. He's not a third base coach. He's not sitting over there going... You know, he's not doing that. He's speaking to you. You've got to yield and listen to him. And everybody said amen to that. Okay. Now, what I want to tell you, if you cultivate a prophetic ear, God will give you a prophetic voice. So it starts with listening first, and then you speak. Just stay with me. One of the greatest gifts that you can give someone is not just to pray for that person, but also to listen to God for him or her. So, do you pray for people or about them or against them? We want to pray for people. Now, here's the deal. Some of you are looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. I can see some of you. I'm not going to point you out. But here's the deal. You've probably walked in this gift from God called prophecy, and you don't even know it. If you gave a scripture to somebody... Here's an example. If you gave a scripture to somebody and somebody said, golly, I just read that scripture yesterday and that just ministered, you know, and now you're confirmed by giving that same scripture to me again. Now, here's the deal. You're not smart enough out of over 3,000 scriptures to pick out that one scripture that they read yesterday. But God is. And he just moved through you to encourage them that they're hearing God. You just moved in prophecy and don't even know it because you encouraged somebody. It's that simple. It's not, because a lot of us, when we hear the word prophecy, we think doom and gloom and the end of the world and somebody is just, you know, bringing down the fire of God. That's not it. I'm going to show you the scripture here in just a second. This week, I had, and this don't happen all the time. There's times I have dreams and it's because I ate pizza the night before, okay? But, and I don't dream all the time either. Sometimes, but this week I had a dream, and in this, I'm going to tell you, because last week we talked about dreams. And God does speak to us through dreams. And I want to encourage you, you know, if you have a dream about somebody else and you haven't been thinking about that person, that dream might be from God and might be that you need to call them or send them a card or a text or whatever to encourage them. Everybody said? Because I can guarantee you, the enemy is not out to encourage people. He's out to discourage people. And so the other morning... it was early in the morning. I had a dream, and it was like a little dream snippets. Every now, you know, it won't like be a long dream. It's just that little dream snippet. I had this dream, and I woke up, and I knew I needed to call my brother-in-law, Clark. I actually sent him a text, and here was the dream. In this dream, it was really a quick dream. In this dream, I'm in the stands watching a baseball game, and all of a sudden, it dawns on me that I know that the center fielder is Clark Calloway. And he's in this game. And there was a ball hit to deep center field. And of course, in my dream, I'm thinking, why ain't I playing? I'm sitting here watching this, you know. And here's the deal. What I want to say about prophecy, it's not about you. It's about encouraging somebody else. And so in this dream, there's a ball hit, and it goes to center field. And I'm like, Clark's got that, you know. And I can see in the dream, he goes back, and he catches this ball. And there was a guy going to tag up at third to go home, and Clark just unleashes a cannon, you know, head high all the way to home plate, and everybody's just like, oh my gosh, did you see that? Did you see his arm? And everybody in the stands is just like, oh my gosh, that guy's got a cannon. That guy at third didn't even get off the bag before that ball got home and all this stuff. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, I know him. I know him. And I start telling everybody I know him, and I start telling him I'm related to him. He's my brother-in-law. You know, and then all of a sudden in my dream, and you got to pay attention to your emotions and what you're thinking in the dream. In the dream, I'm thinking there are scouts here, and Clark needs to get promoted because he's a good ball player. So I start screaming out, God, he's good. Did anybody see that? You know, I'm trying to get him noticed even more. And then that was it. That was the dream. And so I was like, okay. I got up the next morning. I went in the kitchen, and I was making coffee. And I was thinking about that dream, and the Lord said, I want you to send him a text message. And Because, you know, sometimes when you call people up and you, now Clark wouldn't mind because Clark's my brother-in-law. He knows me and understands this. But I'm not going to call him up and tell him that whole dream like that because that might, they might go, good grief, he's weird. He's dreaming about me playing baseball. And so I just said, Lord, give me the interpretation of that dream in just a few sentences. It doesn't have to be long. And the Lord just immediately dropped in my heart what he was saying. And it said this, the Lord sees you, and this is what I text to Clark. Said, the Lord sees you. You feel like you're stuck in the outfield, but he sees you. Get ready for a promotion. And that's what I released to Clark. And Clark was like, man, that really ministered to me. That's prophecy, because it encouraged somebody. All right? Now, here's number two. We're going to talk about what prophecy is not. Prophecy is not manipulative. All right? And what that means is, prophecy is not to be used to get people to do what you want them to do. And everybody said, you got to watch your heart, your emotions, your motives, and everything behind it. I'm going to give you a few scriptures about this, and then I'm going to give you some illustrations. Jeremiah 23, verses 25 through 26 says, I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusion of their own minds? Jeremiah 23, verses 30 through 31. Therefore declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who steal from one another words supposedly from me. Yes, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who wag their own tongues and yet declare the Lord declares. Ezekiel 22, verse 28. Her prophets whitewash these deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. They say, this is what the sovereign Lord says when the Lord has not spoken. And so that's those. And that here's the thing that I want to tell you on prophecy is not manipulative, is, and you may want to write this down, consider the source. Consider the source, where this word is coming from. I want to tell you something. Not everyone who speaks for God has a word from God. Amen. Not everyone who speaks for God is a word from God or has a word from God. And the reason why is because we're all people. I can miss it. You can miss it. We all can miss it. So people commonly misuse and abuse words from God. And here's another way to put it. The third commandment is don't take the Lord's name in vain. And we all know what that means. You know, don't use God's name with profanity and all that. We know that. But sometimes I think that God's using God's name in vain is when we're speaking, saying, thus saith the Lord, and it's really our own motives. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. And guys, I'm telling you, and we got to remain teachable. We all can miss it. I've missed it. You know, I didn't intend to, but I got my motives and my heart in there and have missed things before. We're all growing in this. None of us have arrived. We all can get better. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, prophecy to learn. We can grow in it. And I'm going to give you a couple illustrations, one of them from my own life, another one from Pastor Robert Morse that are really good about this. One was teachable. It happened to be the one I dealt with. Thank you, Lord. And the one that Pastor Robert dealt with was that this person was teachable. But I had a person come to me. This was early on in my ministry and here at Leedy. And I knew this person was upset with me. I knew they didn't like me. I knew there was some motives there. And they came to me and they basically called me up and said, hey, I got a word for you. I want to come by your house. And I could just tell by the tone of the voice, this ain't going to be good, you know. And so I was like, sure, you know, I thought, well, maybe, and I gave it the benefit of the doubt. I was like, maybe they're going to come in the right spirit and the right heart. And when they came, and he opened up his Bible, and he basically, you know, said, this is what God is saying, and just began to rip me up one side and down the other. And it was a very mean-spirited, very religious word. And I stopped him midway. I said, hey, stop. I said, that's not a word from God. And he said, how do you know it's not a word from God? I said, because that does not encourage me one iota. He's like, oh, okay. And that ended the conversation right there. And I don't want to talk any more about that. But that was just, and he wasn't teachable. He really thought he had a word from God. And it was to, you know, it was really going to set me free. And it didn't set me free at all. And if I'd have kept listening to it, it would have, sometimes you just need to stop and not listen to what the enemy's saying. The enemy tries to bring prophetic words in your life to get you to fear or doubt yourself or whatever. And you've got, and the only way that you know is when I have a relationship with God. So if it's not confirming to me or ministering to me or encouraging me or comforting me or strengthening me, it is not a word from God. I love Pastor Robert. He said he had a couple come to him one time and said, "Pastor Robert, we went to a church, a service, and we had a prophetic word delivered over us. And man, we've been up all night long, and it's just caused us all kinds of turmoil, and we're fretting about it, we're worried about it, and blah blah blah." And he's like, "Hey, let it go. That ain't a word from God." And they was like, "Well, how do you know?" And he goes, "It doesn't meet the test of Scripture. Did it strengthen you? Did it comfort you? Did it bless you? Did it encourage you? Did it do those things? No, then it's not a word from God." So you can judge prophecy. Amen? Thank God we can. Not everything's a word from God, so you got to know. And I love this other story that Pastor Robert shared was, and he said he had a lady come up to him after service one day, and they were making some changes in their church as their church was growing. If you don't know Pastor Robert Morris, I show him his messages from time to time here. He's going to be bringing the message next week by video, and I love listening to him. I learned so much about teaching and preaching from him, and I've played golf with him one time. That's a funny story. I'll have to share it next week for you, but just a great guy, and he talked about their church was growing. They like to do 5 services now between Saturday and Sunday, and they don't do every service live. He's like, "There's no way that that I can get up there every Sunday of the year, every weekend of the year, and deliver 5 messages." And so their elders, this is where it comes back in, their elders were in agreement that we're going to start using video, baptizing it, calling it holy, and do video campuses and do things like that. There's going to be a time where Pastor Robert's live, but then they're going to videotape that and then show it the next time. And so to help him to be, because he's a not just a pastor, he's a blessing to the whole body of Christ. And so that was the agreement that the elders had in one of their elders' meetings. And the lady, after they had announced all this and everything, and these changes were happening in the church, a lady came up to him after service one day when he had preached live. And she came up to him and she said, "Pastor Robert, I feel like I have a word for you." He said, "Okay, let me." And he said, and this is something Pastor Robert said, "Don't put up a judgmental antenna, but put up a discerning antenna." Because if you have a relationship with God, you're going to know if this bears witness with you. And she said, "You're supposed to preach live at all 5 services." And he goes, "I'm sorry, man, but that's not a word from God." She goes, "Really, why not?" And she said, "Well, the elders don't agree with that because we've had the elders meeting about this, and this is the way we're going as a church. There's no way humanly possible physically that I can preach 5 messages and stay healthy for a year doing it like that." And he went through all this, and he said, "By the way," he said, and he goes, "I just knew that the Lord had given, helped me minister to her and teach her something." And she was teachable, by the way. And he said, "By the way, where do you sit at when you're here at church and hear me live?" And she said, "Well, we always sit up in the balcony right in the middle so we can see the whole stage." And he goes, "Well, let me ask you this. Do you look at me while I'm down there on the stage, or do you watch the big cameras over here to the side?" And she goes, "I look at the camera so I can see your facial expressions. Or the screen. I look at the screen so I can see your facial expressions." And she just went like this. She goes, "I missed it, didn't I?" He goes, "Yes, you did, but that's okay. That's okay." He said, "You got your desires and your motives in there with it. That's what you want, but that's not the best. That's not what God wants." And he said, and she learned from it, and she was teachable. So there's times we can miss it, but then that's when we need to be teachable. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. So what happens is when those kind of things happen, like what happened to me when I had to stop a gentleman that was delivering what he thought was a prophetic word to me, when I had to stop that, what happens is if you've ever had that happen to you, maybe you have in a church service or, been around people or whatever, this is what happens. You start despising prophecies. You're like, "I don't even want to hear a prophecy. Don't even speak a word to me." Those kind of things happen. And I love what the Apostle Paul told the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:20. He said, "Do not despise prophecies." People are going to miss it, and there's going to be errors and stuff, but don't despise prophecies because that's how God speaks to his people. Now, I'm going to give you, there's a, there's a way to deliver a word to somebody without going, don't walk up to somebody and say, "Thus saith the Lord." If you do that, then tell them you don't go to church here, okay? No, I'm just kidding. But there's a way to do it and not sound goofy and weird. And, you know, and that's where a lot of things have happened in the body of Christ that gives this, where people despise prophesying. But I love how a pastor, and this was in the book that I'm reading, how he says that he approaches somebody. And this is just, this is even at church or even if he's out in public. And this is a, you know, and he asked the Lord. And I want you all to start doing it. Every one of us are prophetic people. Start asking God, "God, give me prophetic words for people. Help me be a blessing and an encouragement to someone," whether at work, it can be at work, at school, wherever you're at. And I love how this pastor says it. He says, this is how he presents a word to somebody. He says, "If 10 is a word from God and 1 is a word from me, then this is probably a 4. And then he says, "If I really feel strongly that it's a word from God," he goes, "I may give it even a 9, but I never give it a 10 because I always know that I can miss it." And he goes, "I even tell people that." And so I like that approach because it suggests something supernatural, but it also allows for margin of error. And everybody said amen. All right, here's number 3. Prophecy is encouraging. It's never discouraging. It's never, here's the other thing is, and sometimes it can, there can be some correction in it a little bit. I don't even want to say all of it. God uses his word to correct us, by the way. But if there is, if it is a corrective word from God, it's going to, there's going to be a whole lot of encouragement around it. Okay? It's never just a straight out corrective or critical or anything like that. This is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. It says, "Follow the way of love." So love's got to be number one, your motives. "And eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit." That's all in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But then he says, especially prophecy. So God wants us to prophesy, guys. Amen. And this is the reason why. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. If I was to sum up this message in one sentence, this is the sentence I would use out of the Bible. "But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort." That's what it is. That's what prophecy is. Can you imagine what Christianity would look like if more people did this in his name instead of the other in his name? And I'm going to tell you something. God is recruiting field agents today. And everybody said, amen. Amen. There was a few weeks ago when I was thinking of, I'm seeing Morgan sitting over here today, and she's a blessed mama. Every time she comes in here, she's just glowing, and she's got mama written all over her, and she's just awesome. And but I was thinking about her, and so I just wanted to tell you that today, to you that you're an awesome mama, in Jesus' name. And then this morning I prayed for Hunter, and there was a scripture I didn't give you, Hunter, is Hunter. For those of you, you can be praying for her and her family. Her grandmother passed away. And Jade and I know what it's like to have family members not there at Christmas. We're coming up on the holidays. And I want you to know there's a scripture I thought of after you went back and sat down, that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He's close to you and to your family. And so, guys, that's a little bit of, of what I'm doing that to illustrate something. Even though I felt like I had that word for Morgan and I had that for Hunter today, that's prophecy. That encourages people. That comforts people. It strengthens them. Amen? That's what prophecy is. 1 Corinthians 14:31. We read it a while ago. We'll read it again. "For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged." So everybody can learn and be encouraged. A few more scriptures. Acts 4:36. Joseph, this was what his, a lot of us don't know this, and this, I needed to hear this one again, too, when I was studying this. Joseph, a Levite, this is not Joseph, the one that's taken Mary to Bethlehem, but this is another Joseph in the Bible. It says, "Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas." So his name wasn't Barnabas, it was Joseph. That was the name that his mom and dad gave him, was Joseph. And the apostles gave him the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. It was like, this guy is all the time encouraging people. So we're going to call him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. So that just made me think, what could people say about you? Could they call you a son and daughter of encouragement? I see Betty sitting back here today. Betty, I know she has this ministry. She'll send out cards every now and then with encouraging words. Have any of you ever got one? I have. Yeah, that's prophecy in action. And so we all can do this. And if everybody did this, God, what a blessed planet we would live on. Amen? If CNN would do this, what a blessed news, you know, all the news people, all of them, what a blessed planet we would live on. Acts 15, verse 32 says, Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. They're the encourage and strengthen the believers. And they said much because they were preachers. They said a lot. They talked a lot. In one translation, it says many words. That sounds like a pastor, don't it? Sounds like a preacher. All right, here's your take home today. Take home. We can all prophesy by hearing God. Amen? Okay, the Holy Spirit walks and talks with us because He remains with us after He baptizes us. And God wants us to desire His spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. This past week, and I shared this last Sunday, over the past few weeks, I've had three prophetic words that were given to me, and it's been a while since I've had a prophetic word spoken to us, but I know it was all timely because the release of our book and us finding out about a grandson, there's a lot of things happening in our lives, but I believe that those words of prophecy aren't just for you, they're for the people that are around you and that you're in relationship with. So three prophetic words over the past few weeks. One came from Ty Barker, and he said, expect and look for the miraculous in and around your life. So I want you to start doing that. Another one came from Pastor Scott Page. It says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over much. Matthew 25, verse 21. It says, be patient. God is about to promote you. And then the last one was from Pastor Ricky Griffin. It says, you're going from a season of preparation to a new beginning. So I just release that over you guys, that every one of you are going to see miracles around you, in and around you. You're going to be promoted, and you're going to have new beginnings. And everybody said, amen. All right, I'm going to end with a story. Can I do that? All right, and I'm going to show you, because a lot of us, I guarantee you, because I look out across this audience, and every one of you in here know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm pretty sure about that. If you don't, you're going to know Him before you leave today. But I'm almost positive that every one of you have moved in prophecy and don't even know it. If you've ever encouraged somebody, strengthened somebody, brought them comfort, you're moving in prophecy. Amen? And God wants us to move in this more and encourage one another. But I love this story that I read in the book, and I just felt like I needed to read it to you in closing, because this sums up the whole message, and it's talking about, I want you to get this, this was a preschool teacher in a church. What's going on back here? And I want you to see the power of a prophetic word that held a guy his whole life. It says, it happened in a preschool classroom in the basement of a church building in Decatur, Georgia. I was a shy kid, said Carlos. He was a Panamanian Mexican with an afro parted down the side like Gary Coleman. That's what he said about himself. He said, and that was on the best day. He said, and I was in a land of bright blonde hair, deep blue eyes, and thick southern accents. Carlos was an outlier, and he knew it. The defining moment happened on the day that parts were handed out for the 13th annual Presbyterian Church Preschool Circus. The year before, Carlos had been a lion. His roar had come out more like a meow, and the crowd erupted in laughter. Carlos was scarred with shame, and here he was again at the scene of the crime. Now, I want you to know that this teacher remembers this about him. His teacher, Mrs. Stevens, started assigning parts. Mary, dancing bear. Brandon was going to be the clown. Jay was going to be the muscle man. Whitaker is at the end of the alphabet. That's what Carlos's last name was. And when Mrs. Stephen got there, she took off her glasses, smiled a smile that Carlos remembers to this day, and said, Carlos, you're going to be this year's ringmaster. That moment wrapped up in that one sentence actually changed everything for me. It changed the trajectory of my very future, said Carlos. As though it happened yesterday, she thought I could be the ringmaster. In the eighth grade, Carlos would have been content to have been the class treasurer, but he ran for president. Why? Because he was the ringmaster. Carlos had led worship at stadiums filled with tens of thousands of people, and he's been the master of ceremonies at more than a few conferences I've spoken at. This is from this author. Carlos is the master of ceremonies, but it traces back to something that a preschool teacher saw in him. She didn't just assign a role in the 13th annual Presbyterian Church preschool circus, she gave Carlos a new self-image. What I'm about to say might not sound very exegetical, but I think that is precisely what Paul did for Timothy. Neither Timothy nor Carlos knew where he belonged. I wonder if Timothy would have crawled into his shell and never come out if Paul hadn't spoken that word of exhortation. And that exhortation was, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind." Timothy would eventually become the ringmaster at the church of Ephesus, but it started with one prophetic word. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Every one of us can do this. And so I encourage you to pray. This is my challenge to you this week. Pray and ask God to give you somebody to strengthen, to comfort, and to encourage this week in His name. And everybody said, amen. All right, let's all bow our heads in here this morning. And I want to make sure before we leave today that everybody here and those that are watching by Church's Aid and those that are listening by radio know the Lord. And so I want to lead you in a prayer today. And it's a prayer of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so even if you're here today and you know Jesus, I want you to repeat this prayer with Him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need You in my life. I believe You are the Son of God. And You died on the cross for me. And rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear Your voice. I accept You as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank You for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Jada, will you come up here with me, babe? Did everybody learn something today? Okay, everybody going to go out and prophesy this week? In the name of Jesus. Okay, I want to speak this. If everybody would stand up, I'm going to speak this blessing over you today. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you His peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God Himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God is good
all the time.
And all the time. All right, go prophesy.